Yep. Very impressive range, man. I mean, this is a low investment, short ramp to break even, highly scalable, low labor model. We, you know, it's funny. We spent all this time, I think 45 minutes so far we've spent, and not once did we mention, you don't even own a truck.
No.
You're right.
No
assets.
Exactly.
You have no assets. You don't even have a warehouse. You're literally operating out of your house. All right, welcome to Pursuit of Profit, the podcast for people who want to build a profitable business without guessing, gambling, or learning the hard way. Today, we're talking about a $1 trillion industry, freight and logistics, trucks, warehouses, supply chains, massive infrastructure. What if I told you there's a way to participate in that industry without owning a single truck? That's right. No drivers, no fuel costs, no warehouse, no inventory, just relationships, pricing power, and margin. Speedy Freight is a B2B logistics franchise that simplifies the logistics complexities for small to mid-sized manufacturers and distributors. They have an extremely low investment and an Item 19 earnings claim that will blow your mind. Today, I'm sitting down with Cody Slade, president of Speedy Freight, to break down how the model actually works, how you make money, and who is the ideal customer. All right, let's get into it. So I want to begin with this. These are my optics in your business, right? And you're going to help me with this. If UPS and DHL and FedEx are the ones actually moving the freight, right? And Speedy Freight is acting as the consultant coordinator. What problem are you solving for that local manufacturer or distributor if on the back end, the big three are doing all the heavy lifting? Help me.
Yeah, awesome. And Cliff, I appreciate it. And I appreciate the question. So the most amazing thing about Speedy Freight is that to answer that question, there's not just one solution. Our model truly is all about being a consultant, going in, talking to these businesses. Luckily, not everyone has the exact same problem. I'll give you a real life example. I literally was on the phone right before we jumped on here with one of our franchisees who has the opportunity to go help a small business move about 10,000 shipments internationally through DHL. And their issue, they've been using FedEx and things have gone well. The issue is that it's a time and transit thing. It's not getting there fast enough. DHL, who we love and cherish as a partner, they are the number one international carrier. And so we're able to go in and solve their issue by getting their shipment there quicker than they can do with any other carrier. And so it really is just about going in. And the reason why they would go through Speedy Freight and not DHL direct is one, the service level that they get with us, right? It's all about offering small businesses what they need, providing their solutions, right? A lot of small businesses, they're expert at their business, but they're not experts at shipping, and they don't want to jump on a 1-800 number or try and get a sales rep or go through the headache that they go through in dealing with the big three, right? The DHL, the UPS, the FedEx. And so a franchisee can go in as that expert, be a consultant, offer these solutions while still giving them a better price than they can qualify by going direct to carrier. And so we really tick a lot of the boxes, especially on the parcel side, when it comes to, you know, the why behind why they would go with a carrier like a DHL or someone like that through Speedy. It's because we're able to go through and check all these different boxes and give them a much better product than they can get by going direct.
Okay. So in this example, they were using DHL and you come in and you're still using DHL?
They were using FedEx. So they're using FedEx and then we came in and offered a DHL.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to find that friction. I'm trying to find that pain point, right? Because I'm trying to figure out where you fit in. I get it. I get the personal touch. I get all of that. That makes total sense to me. 800 number, you're insignificant. You're not Amazon. You're not GE. You're a small to mid-sized business. You have a pain point. There's friction in your logistics. Speedy Freight comes in and we can smooth that out. You've got this one-on-one coordinator, intermediary, et cetera, et cetera. Okay.
Yeah. And like I said, the best thing about what we do is, so we've got this toolbox of services that we can offer. And we go in and we meet with all these different small businesses. Right. That was one example of many, right? There's other examples where we go in and they're having challenges shipping to a certain part of the world and no one else can go there but DHL. And so it makes sense that they work with us. And once again, they a lot of times don't have that leverage with DHL to get the pricing that makes sense for them. So we're able to come in and help them with that. Sometimes it's, you know, when we go into the freight side where it's not a DHL, UPS or FedEx, the pain point can be they just don't have the resources to really provide solutions from a logistics standpoint. And they need that expert, right? They don't want to hire that expert. They don't know who to call. And so we get to be that expert and provide just unique solutions that, and franchisees can provide that personal touch. The pain point's always very different, but the common solution is always that customizable service based on our unique products that we can offer.
All right, that's helpful. Like, it's crystal clear. I get it. You go in, you're not that. The representation isn't, I'm going to come in just save you a ton of money in shipping. It's like, no, we do that. We do that and way more.
Exactly. Like the pitch and the great thing is we've got franchisees here right now going through training. And we went to dinner with them and we talked through this last night. And it's more so, hey, when you walk in the door, you talk about Speedy Freight for 30 seconds. You just say who we are. And then it's really just gathering information about that business, right? Really looking at supply chain and understanding where are you getting your products? How are they coming into your business? What are your specific requirements? What are your expectations with your customers? How are you delivering to your customers? And then identifying the pain points that they're having and really massaging and fixing those with our solutions so that we can, you know, once again, provide better service at a better price and really be that key piece for them so they don't have to go hire someone else and bring someone else in to figure these solutions out.
Love it. Okay. I got crystal clear. Great explanation. And I'd like to hear, you know, as we go through maybe some more like examples, like this situation, we got involved. This is what we did. It's like, okay, I love those case studies. I love the story selling part of a business like yours. Cause like, I just like the light goes off, right?
Yeah.
People just get it. You know, at Hello, sometimes people don't truly, they're like, no, I don't want to look at that.
Exactly. And to be quite honest, right? Like when you look at all the different brands out there, I will be the first to say we're not a sexy brand, right? Like no one is waking up and saying, I am so excited. I'm going to go buy, you know, a shipping business. But the reality of what we are is that we're a B2B sales model that really is about providing customized solutions to the customer, right? It's consultative selling and it's building a real business that has equity. So I've been in this industry for a very, very, very long time. And what we sell is shipping, but the business model in and of itself is quite different because it's all about managing a team, right? Going out and providing these solutions, right? Building equity. And you're able to do all of these things without the investment that often comes along with some of the bigger models, right? We're very different and very unique, which puts us in a really good spot for the right individual, the individual that gets excited about something that's B2B.
Pursuit of Profit is brought to you by Phrenosity. If franchise ownership is on your radar, whether you're buying your first unit or expanding your portfolio, the most important step is getting clarity before you invest. At Phrenosity, we provide free franchise consulting to help you identify the right opportunity based on your goals, lifestyle, financial position, income needs, your risk tolerance, and long-term vision or legacy. We work with you to develop investment objectives and build a strategy designed specifically for you. There's no cost, just expert guidance. We're compensated by the seller, just like a realtor. Visit Phrenosity.com to book your free consultation call. Thank you. So end-to-end logistics specialists, consultants, coordinators, right?
Yep.
You're in the 3PL. So you're a third party logistics company. You're right in the middle, third party. So you're in the middle between the actual carrier and I'm going to call them the manufacturer.
Yep.
Right. That type of company. You're like right in the middle, helping them. As you said, you're great at making bicycles. You're not good at shipping them.
Spot on. And our mission really is to be the first choice for all of our customers and to be the reason why they don't have to worry about shipping, right? We want them to, as you just described, focus on what they're good at. Small businesses, they know their business. They don't need to be
That's
shipping
right.
experts.
That's right. Look, you've been around this industry. Man, I remember you. I've been in this industry 25 years. You were at a competitor for many, many years, almost two decades.
Correct.
So you have a ton of experience in this space. And I wouldn't ask this question of someone that wasn't as seasoned as you. I'm trying to understand, can you just give me an example of an inefficiency in this business? It's like, Cliff, this comes up all the time. It doesn't have to be a complex problem, but it's an inefficiency when you're a small to mid-sized business dealing with these three massive companies.
Absolutely. So there's a company, and I'll leave names out.
Fine.
But we have a customer that's based in the Boston area, and they're a packaging company. Actually make the little flags that go on Hershey Kisses. So they're not a little company. They're a much bigger company. But they, due to some connections, they reached out to us because they were having an issue that, and they were doing LTL freight, so more on the freight side than the parcel side. And one of their big issues is that they were just getting, carriers kept charging them for all these additional fees. So they were getting recharged to the tune of almost $500,000. They were using one of the major carriers, C.H. Robinson, that's in the market. They're a wonderful company, do a lot of things right. But the things that they don't do is they don't have a ton of great customer service or hands-on service. So this customer reached out to us and they were just struggling because they're losing all this money because one, you know, you send a shipment, you pay the carrier. Then after you get another invoice, you know, 3 weeks later for the same shipment, you're like, why am I getting this? They can't go bill your customer those additional fees. And so they came to us and said, we need help. And so all we did is we sat down with them and we said, you know, what are you doing? Let's look through this. And it was as simple as just training them to select the correct, they're called accessorials, the correct additional charges when they were quoting a shipment. So very, very easy, simple process. We coached them on it. So then they were quoting to their customer the correct way. And then because they were quoting to their customer the correct way, that meant that the carrier was charging them the correct amount and they weren't getting all these additional charges.
Okay.
So when we came in, we didn't even save them any money. All we did was go in and provide a solution that was simple, and they're super established as well. They've been doing this for a really long time. And the fact that there hadn't been someone that had stepped in and really looked at what they were doing from a logistics standpoint and identified this small gap and provided a small piece of training really changed their business to the tune of $500,000. And once again, we didn't save them any money. We're charging the exact same price that C.H. Robinson did. But we were able to really help this company streamline what they were doing and provide a more substantial service simply by just a training aspect. And that's kind of what we're here to do. And you don't get that by having this amazing tech program where everyone's just using tech. You've got to go in and you've got to build relationships and you've got to have that consultant hat on. So that's really what we're here to do is to go in and consult with companies, figure out what they're doing, find that small pain point, and then just provide a solution that makes sense for them.
So Corey, I love that story, but it brings me back to like expense reduction, right? So in this example, you save them $500,000, but you're not benefiting as a percentage of the $500,000 savings. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you're compensated in that Hershey Kiss flag example. How are you making money on that? You just saved them $500,000.
We're benefiting because they're using the same carriers through us now. So they move their service away from C.H. Robinson and now they're shipping through Speedy Freight. So that's our benefit. Our benefit is we make money between what we charge the customer and what the carrier charges us. So we make that margin. So while we were able to save this customer $500,000 just on, you know, reducing their spend and having them quote correctly, it wasn't a matter of reducing actually shipping cost. The cost from the carrier remained the same. And so I wouldn't call it cost reduction, really.
Okay.
We really make money off the fact that we get our rates from our carrier based on our overall volume. We're able to go in and save them based on that margin. So our margin was built into the cost of shipping.
Got it. And now they're working with you. So what I'm also hearing now, you introduced a new player, right? And you said something like LTL, just for the audience. LTL
Correct.
means less than a full truckload.
Thank you.
So it's less than load, right? So you have LTL, which the world has heard these words a million times and they have no idea what they mean. So you've got less than a load and then you got an FTL, which is the full truckload.
Correct.
And in this example, it was an LTL, small regional carrier, horrible customer service. And this is where, again, you're solving a problem. It's like I've got a go-to local connection, more than likely. If it's a franchisee, it could be local, which is even better. You could literally press the flesh with them if you needed to sort out these issues. I love this, man. So here's my other question.
Yeah.
All I hear about is the top three, FedEx, UPS, right? That's more, to me, they're more of a I view them as parcel. I know they do bigger loads, but I view them more as parcels. Do you work with the J.B. Hunts, the Old Dominions, the Expo, you know, logistics and stuff? Do you do that?
Absolutely. So from a, and really as we look at Speedy Freight, we have, you know, our three core products. So we've got what we call small package, which is really based on our agreements with DHL Express and a relationship with UPS. So we can send your small box, really anything from zero to 150 pounds in the US, right? Your Amazon, your e-com. So we can go play in that world. And then we have our LTL offering, which is where we partner with some of those companies, right? So the Old Dominions, the Saias, right? Anyone, you're driving down the road and you see a semi drive past and they've got a logo. Often that's going to be one of your LTL carriers, right? Your Southeastern Freight is another one, or Forward Air. They're some of our partners that we work with. But we work with all the major LTL carriers for a domestic service. And then our other service is full truckload. And on the full truckload side, that's a unique offering because you're really working with independent carriers. So really it allows
a
franchisee.
I heard it's so fragmented. Is that true? One of the most fragmented industries in the country.
I would agree with that 100%, 100%. But the great thing is that from a logistics standpoint, really we are a true 3PL. So what makes us different in the market from other brands that may be similar is that we really have that full offering from a 3PL standpoint. So our core products, once again, the parcel product, the LTL product, the full truckload product. And then on top of that, we also can do warehousing. We can do e-commerce fulfillment. We can do a drayage product, which is moving containers from the ships to the end user. We really have a lot of unique things that we can do. But as we work with our franchisees, we do try and focus in on those core products. They lead, they go out and sell those core products. But when they get in, they act as true consultants, and it's all about providing the solution to the customer that fixes that pain point.
Is it fair to say in your business model that you just mentioned the three, parcels, small boxes, whatever you called it, LTL, FTL, is that like 80, 90% of your company's revenue?
Absolutely. That's
like correct. Literally. Okay. All right. So the secondary services, yes, we offer them. It's just a smaller percentage of revenue.
Yeah, for sure.
I never heard drayage. That's meeting the shipping container at the dock and moving that product. It actually has its own name.
Absolutely. It's putting the container on a truck and then moving it to whoever is taking possession and then getting it unloaded and bringing it back to the shipping yard.
Interesting. You know, what's really interesting about this conversation, all I hear is, this emphasis on last mile, the money's in the last mile. I'm not really hearing anything about the last mile. That can't be true then. You know what I'm talking about. Every layman is talking about the last mile. Amazon's trucks are last mile.
Yeah.
But I don't hear last mile from you. Maybe that's not the friction in the relationship.
I mean, to be quite honest, when you look at the market overall, right, the most wonderful thing about logistics is that it's a $1.3 trillion industry. So you look at the industry such as restaurant and like that's a $6 billion industry. We're twice as big. And that's really hard but the point is that there's so many different movements and so much opportunity that you're correct. It doesn't just have to be last mile. And last mile is great, right? Amazon does that very, very well. Mm-hmm. But guess what? There's a whole other section of Amazon that no one talks about, which is how product gets to Amazon. And we do that for some of our customers as well, where we're importing the product from China or from India and delivering it to Amazon. We just did a quote yesterday for a company that's based here in Dallas, that's one of our franchisees, and they're moving 10 of these LTL shipments to different Amazon facilities all over the US. So you're correct, the market's obsessed with this last mile stuff, but there's a lot of money to be made all throughout logistics in a lot of different forms.
That's right. There, just for the record, there is no last mile without LTL, FTL.
You're exactly right.
You have no product to last mile. There's no final mile if I didn't get it from its original destination.
Exactly
right. It's so true. There's a lot of money in the middle. Let's talk about the actual customer to define it better. So who is the small, the mid-size customer? How are we acquiring these customers? What's the length of stay for a customer? This is clearly a long-term relationship,
Absolutely.
Recurring revenue model. But
Absolutely.
I want it in your words. Like, Where are you getting these customers and who is the customer? Is it a $1 million customer? Is it a $30 million customer?
So really, as we look at, so we're very much focused in on SME, and so small to medium-sized businesses. And there's a reason why we want to focus on these type of businesses. The whole goal of being a franchisee is to do what you just described, right? You want to create profitable, reoccurring revenue where you have healthy margins. And so what we've really identified is we've looked at the industry, and companies that are 20 million and less, those are the ones that we can go in and provide value savings and still walk away with the healthy margins that allow a business to function, right? We don't want to go up, right? So for example, in the FTL market, if you really go push a lot of full truckload, and we can Google this, but the industry standard is to run about a 15% margin. We don't want that for our franchisees. And so we say, hey, go focus on the smaller customers that are going to need you, that aren't going to, you know, where it's not a race to the lowest penny, but really focus on the customers that can value your shares. They understand the value of someone like you working with them, and go get shipments where you can maintain the 20 to 25 to 30 to 40% margins and create that recurring relationship. So when we look at those different type of companies, as far as, you know, who do they look like and what do these companies do, that one of the most amazing things is that, you know, it's anyone that has a product. And I know that is such a big range, but to give some examples, right, we've got a company that we move water bottles for, right? They produce, they're a spring, they've got water bottles, they distribute it all throughout the US. So we help ship their water bottles. We've got some companies that we do, they're cosmetic companies, and we move their product internationally for them. So e-commerce, lipsticks, lotions, things like that, small stuff. We've also got another company that we move cosmetic material for. So the raw cosmetic material. So in order to produce those type of cosmetics, so we help import it from Italy, bring it in. And it's here in the Dallas area. Mary Kay's based here. And so there are a handful of cosmetic companies. So we help them bring in that, and they fly that in through DHL. Some other things that we do. We just had a customer that got onboarded that they do promotional products. So they have companies reach out to them to help advertise and do promotional stuff, and they ship products all around the world. And so we're going in with DHL and providing a service. And their biggest issue right now is transit time. So they can't get their shipments out quick enough because they've got this specific window that it has to hit in. And they're using FedEx. FedEx can't hit that window. And so they've switched to DHL because DHL is the biggest and best when it comes to international. So that was just an example of four different type of customers that they're all unique. We've also got a customer that we move their furniture for. We've got another customer that does, it's called We Care, that's paper cups. And we do all of their LTL. So I just share that because it's the fun thing is that from a sales standpoint, you're never selling to the same type of company. It's not like you're just going out and doing sales on for refrigeration or doing the same thing over and over. You get to go in and you get to explore a lot of different businesses that do a lot of different things, but your offering's the same. You still can provide the same type of solution to these companies because you're just moving whatever they do. And so it's a lot of fun because you get to learn a lot and you get to have a lot of fun conversations about a lot of fun different things.
You want to work with customers that are shipping stuff all year long, COVID, whatever. It's always being shipped. That was very cool. I don't know if you want to comment on it or the methodology behind it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's natural overall when you look at logistics, right? And I think that comment's probably geared towards, right, go after consumables that are needed, right? So whether it doesn't really matter what that product is, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a food consumable, but it could be anything that is a consumable, but is it more of a needed product. But the great thing about logistics overall, logistics is one of those industries that doesn't ebb and flow. Like, we don't have a lot of seasonality. Yes, do we get a spike in December due to, you know, Christmas? Yeah, we get a spike, but we don't have the ebb and flow. We're not season, you know, we don't, from an economic standpoint, we don't ebb and flow with that. We really, when economy's good, people are shipping a lot of stuff. When economy's bad, hey, we're still shipping stuff because it's got to move. And so that's one of the we're very resilient when it comes to the economy and kind of what we're seeing in the world. So it's a fun industry to be part of.
So go into how are you getting the customer now? Yep. The franchise, do I have to be like a rock star farmer rep? Do I have to be a logistics expert? How am I cold calling, cold walking, aggressive networking? Give it to me straight. How am I getting these customers?
Really, this is B2B sales. And so really you're going out, you're meeting with businesses, you're talking to businesses. There is an aspect of cold calling, right? You've got to be able to have somewhat of a hunter mentality. Our goal for our franchisees is really to build teams, right? This is built around building a sales team that you can manage and have go out and execute your sales plan. But it is a numbers base, right? It's all about going out, having the conversations. We have the KPIs that kind of walk through, all right, you need to go out and make 300 contacts per week over the phone and face-to-face. You have a good mix there. 300 contacts per week will all drill down into 2 new sales per week. And that's where, to your point, it just becomes reoccurring, right? You go get the right customers, they just start shipping, and you're building this reoccurring revenue account by account. But it's all done through that KPI and those sales efforts.
Love it. Yeah, love it. Anyone listening has an interest in this, you got to be a salesperson. Yep. You got to put yourself out there. And if you're not a salesperson, you want to get involved in it, I don't know that you'll approve them, but the requirement is you need to have a rock star salesperson on the street doing what they need to do, closing deals and dragging the carcass back to the cave.
Absolutely. Right?
I love businesses like that because there's no glass ceiling. You make it rain. You make the phone ring. You're the rainmaker. And I love business models like that versus sitting behind a counter and complaining that my Valpak coupon didn't drive in the foot traffic I was expecting. Like, come on.
You are exactly right.
Go out and hunt and kill.
And I think more than that, like for us, as we look at franchisees and you know, what does our ideal franchisee look like? We want business builders, right? We really view this as like owner operators are great, but we want business builders that are going to come in and say, all right, I see what this model can do. I see that it's numbered space. All right, I'm going to go hire 3, 4, 5 sales reps, get them out there. This is a numbers game. I'm going to push them all to hit their KPIs. And then that's, to your point, that's recurring revenue, right? That's when it builds quick and creates something really special. But we really want individuals. I'm not looking for the guys that want to go out and do it as well. But really, we get really excited about the ones that really envision this as a building a business, not simply just buying a job.
Right on. Yeah, I like it. And I can see if you close a deal in this space, I find your business very sticky. The yes. client's not going anywhere. Do you actually know like your customer acquisition costs? Do you know the length of stay of a customer and the lifetime value?
So overall, we haven't broke that down to customer acquisition cost, right? Those numbers we're still washing through as we build out franchisees. We could base it on our own office that's here in Dallas, but I don't feel like that is a good representation. So we haven't done that. But from a retention standpoint, as we build out business plans, month over month, we're retaining right around 80% of our business. So we retain a high level of business month over month.
I figured that. That's interesting. That's
very cool. And part of it is because we're able to go in, right? To your point, like we can go in, we do have aggressive pricing. You cannot base this all on the pricing, but it's you get in, you win it because of price, and then you build that relationship and value as you continue to service them. And then that's when they get sticky. We've got another customer that we work very closely with, and we handle all of their UPS. I've worked with this company for my entire career, basically for almost 17 years. And we charge them about 40% more than they would if they would go direct to carrier. But the reason they work with us is because we answer the phone every time they call. So for instance, I've answered my phone coaching my son's soccer game, and I'll pick up the phone and be like, and they're always like, what are you doing? Why are you yelling and screaming at all these kids? And I'm like, well, I'm coaching soccer. And she's like, oh, well, call me back. And I'm like, well, what do you need? And she's like, well, I just had this little question about if I ship this way, if I ship it that way, what's going to get there faster, which way? And I answer her question. She's like, oh, you're amazing. Thank you. Things up. That's the value that we bring is it's those simple, right? She doesn't have to get on a 1-800 number. She doesn't have to get on a chat bot. She can ask a question. Hey, what's the best way to ship this? How am I going to guarantee that it gets there for my customer? She'd have that answer in 30 seconds and get back to her business instead of taking an hour and a half. And that's the real value. So we can win it with price, but at the end of the day, where you build the margins is those relationships, because you can keep raising that price they're not going to go anywhere because they value you as an individual and what you bring to the table so much.
I love it. Speaking of, are there operating hours? I mean, money never sleeps. Logistics never sleeps. What are the hours of a franchisee? What's the expectation?
The great thing about our model is that it truly is during normal business hours.
Okay.
In my 17 years that I've been doing this, I've had just a handful of times that I've worked after hours. And a lot of times when I've done that, it's
Monday through Friday.
By choice. Yeah, it's Monday through Friday. And you're not staffing anything over the weekend, right? You're not. And the nice thing is that the individuals that you're hiring and bringing into this model to go out and do sales, they're also, a different level of employee where you're not always scrambling to replace them and not trying to get someone that takes their hours. It truly is building a business that's based on business. So it's based on B2B, which is just such a wonderful business to be
part of. That's wild. So I literally can start this, just me. I could start this business. I could buy your franchise. It's just me. I'm the salesperson and I'm out on the street and I'm starting to build and scale my business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We actually have a franchisee who really has an amazing skill set that just bought in the Kentucky area. And yeah, he bought a sign 2 weeks ago and he's getting started right now. So this is a model that you can jump into right away and really get it ramped fairly quickly without tons and tons of overhead.
You're the president in the US. How many locations are there operating? Like who's operating? What's that number in the US?
Oh, God, man, it feels like this changes every 2 weeks. So right now we have 17 franchisees that are out and operating. We have 3 in training at the moment.
Training is not in the UK, it's in the United States.
Nope. Yep. Training's here in Dallas. Okay. 2 weeks here in Dallas. They come. We go through all the ins and outs, right? Our goal, we build a very detailed sales plan so that as soon as you go out, you know exactly what you have to execute. We build a really detailed business plan that ties into that sales plan. And then we really teach you the ins and outs of, we take you out and we do role plays and we knock doors and we do a lot of stuff so you know exactly what you need to do to go out and be successful.
I have the total investment for this business. This is the definition of asymmetrical investing. 71.9. The high side is 163,000. And on the high side, it's really like labor and more operating capital. It's really cash sitting in my operating account.
Yep.
Very impressive range, man. I mean, this is a low investment, short ramp to break even, highly scalable, low labor model. We, it's funny. We spent all this time, I think 45 minutes so far we've spent, and not once did we mention, you don't even own a truck.
No.
You're right.
No
assets.
Exactly.
You have no assets. You don't even have a warehouse. You're literally operating out of your house. Man, that's just so impressive. I got to get into the item 19 now because I'm blown away by some of these numbers.
Awesome.
Do you want to drive this, how you broke down top 21, the middle 58, which I thought was very unique, and then the bottom 20. I don't know how you want to, I'm going to let you drive on the item 19, but it's very impressive.
So overall in our item 19, right now we do disclose a lot from the UK, right? Which really proves out the model and proves that you can make money in logistics. When we look at what's happening here in the US, and this is our most recent item 19, we only have owned office listed because we are still new here in the US. But in our first 12 months, we generated $1.5 million in revenue with $200,000 in gross margin. And I can't share this year's numbers. We're about ready to get to refile. And by the time this comes out, we probably will be refiled. So maybe I can say that. But overall, massive, massive growth. We've grown almost by 30 to 40% year over year. With what we've done here in the US with our owned office. So super happy about what we've done as far as from a growth standpoint and super happy about what franchisees are doing. And so excited for our item 19 in 2007 when we'll be able to list out all of our franchisees that are operating in the US.
That number you gave me, that 1.5 in the first 12 months of operation, that's a US-based earnings claim.
Correct. Yep.
Unreal. And it's going to be in the 26 FDD?
Yep. So it's gonna be updated. Once again, can't share that number quite yet because I'm not filed. But significant growth both from Are
you going to pull the UK numbers out of the item 19?
Not for next year, because we want to be able to still demonstrate that. But in 2027, we'll pull that out.
Do you mind if I read what I have out of your FDD
as
it relates to the...
Please.
This is wild. The audience will greatly benefit from this. So they broke their item 19 up into three categories. We'll start with the top 21% of franchisees. The total revenue was $2.1 million. The average gross margin, and you can describe gross margin, is $883,000. So before I go any further, please define your definition of a gross margin in your business.
Yeah, so how we define gross margin is we take total revenue, so what we charge our customer, you minus out the carrier cost, so whatever we're charging back to, you know, whatever DHL's charging back to us, whatever said carrier, and then it gives you your gross margin number.
What do you pay royalties on, revenue or gross margin?
Gross margin.
Gross margin.
Do that,
you're paying royalties on the low number.
Yep, we do that because then it gives our franchisees control over what they do, right? When a franchisee goes out and sits down with a customer and they decide to price them out, they look at their cost. So we show them what the carrier cost is, and then they're adding their margin on top of that. So the franchisee always has control over what that margin is. So whether that is a 30% margin or whether it's a 50% margin, it's driven by how the franchisee sells it. And then we just take a percentage of that gross margin.
Got it. All right, now that we level set that, everyone now understands what the definition of a gross margin is for Speedy Freight. The middle, so there's a table too, the middle 58%. So this is a huge swath of the system of franchisees. Average revenue was $1.246 million with an average gross margin of $479,000. So then everyone's like, well, that's the middle. All right, well, let's talk about the bottom.
Yeah.
Even the bottom 20% of the system, we're going to call these the worst performing locations in the system. The average revenue was $496,000 with a $188,000 gross margin. I don't know, man. Now I know why you left.
Dude, it's logistics.
Now I know why you left.
Yep.
Good for you, man. And you're running this thing. You're now you're the U.S. president of this division of Speedy Freight.
Yep, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a road as these type of things always are, that swerves and turns and goes up and down. But it's been fun, and we're really excited about franchisees that we have and kind of where this system's going. It's been lots of positivity.
What an episode! I love it, man. I think what you're doing is special. I need to get with my business partner. We need to be showing this brand. This is very intriguing. Yeah, very. I love the investment level. I love the upside. I love how it executes. I love the labor model. I have no assets. I don't have a warehouse. I'm benefiting financially from a $1.3 trillion industry without making an investment in it.
Exactly.
It's an investment of my time and effort to accumulate and acquire new customers. I love it.
Yeah, and that's really what it is, right? And that's I think you said this a little bit earlier, but this is the type of model that you get what you put into it, right? No ceiling. You get to determine exactly how much you make by the effort and time you put into it. And so it's one of those things when you find the guys that like really want to, hey, I want something that I control. This is a model that you control 100%. Right, it's not based on, to your point, someone walking in your door, how much foot traffic you can get. It's based on what you want to put into it and the effort that you make.
I love it. Thank you for taking it. I know you guys are running hard and fast over there. You have to have sold a lot of locations. I know we said 17 are open, but I know you guys are closing deals constantly over
there.
We are. I know. And I appreciate you taking the time out. Anyone working with Fastlane, you're just going to blow up, right? You still work with them, right?
Yep, and we love them. They've been absolutely great. We're invested in our franchisees. We're invested in making sure that they succeed and that they're able to get the ROIs that they're looking to get. And that's why we work with Fastlane, is because they also believe strongly in, hey, let's get the right individual in the right model so that they can succeed. And that's what really turns, like, that's why we do this, right? It's really to benefit the individuals that invest and to help them find that path and really find the enjoyment that they're looking for in their careers.
It's awesome. Love it. This was great, man. I enjoyed my time with you. Thank you so much.
You too, my friends.
Thank you for watching Pursuit of Profit, brought to you by Phrenosity. Franchise ownership is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. The right strategy can accelerate wealth. The wrong one can set you back years. If franchise ownership is on your radar, whether you're buying your first unit or planning to scale, the most important step is getting clarity before you invest. Do not make a six or seven figure decision without the right guidance. At Franosity, we offer free franchise consulting to help you evaluate opportunities, avoid costly mistakes, and build a clear strategy for long-term profitability. Visit franosity.com to book your free call. We look forward to working with you.